we Jews, who have been perennial outcasts, ought to read the Torah's account of the leper with particular care. Leper, we should note from the outset, is not really an accurate rendering of the Hebrew, metzora. The biblical affliction of tzarat is clearly different from what we today call leprosy, most obviously so because it can only be fully cured by spiritual means. Yet the King James translation is helpful in its way, not only because it reminds us of similar symptoms, but also because it gives us a familiar historical point of comparison. Throughout history, lepers have been demonized and feared, quarantined and often even physically sent out of society to go live in leper colonies. It's hard to fathom a more extreme version of the outcast. Surely, then, there's something in the leper's story that we need to know. Toward the end of last week's parsha, Tazria, the Torah begins to catalog all manner of skin afflictions and finally comes upon tzara'at, what we'll call leprosy for the time being. Then, in Parshat Metzora, we move to the process for curing the leper. This cure is effected through an intricate set of mysterious rituals. The priest orders two birds, one of which he slaughters over an earthen vessel with fresh water in it. He then takes the live bird, together with cedar wood, crimson worm, and hyssop, and dips them all into the blood of the other bird and sprinkles the blood 7 times onto the leper. Then the leper washes his clothes, shaves off all his hair, and bathes in water. After 7 days, he will be pronounced pure. Yet, even before the leper is fully cured, before the 7-day clock starts, as soon as he undergoes the ritual and bathes, we read, Va'achar yavo el amachane. After that, he shall enter the camp. Well, this is rather surprising, since we were told earlier, when we first read about leprosy, Kol yame asher hanega bo yitma tamehu. As long as the disease is upon him, he shall be impure. Badad yeshev michutz lamachane moshavo. He shall sit alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Badad yeshev, he shall sit alone. It's very stark, very sad language. Indeed, the leper might be outside of the camp for a very long time. Yet the Torah does not then simply abandon him to a state of permanent exile. Instead, our parsha takes us directly into the detailed procedure for his treatment. His condition is monitored, and when he shows signs of healing, the priest goes out to him and performs the ritual. As soon as that is complete, the leper is immediately taken back into the camp. He must still remain outside his tent for a week, in a kind of liminal space, perhaps as a cautionary measure. But he is back among his people, in the camp of Israel. That's the paradigm. That's how the Torah wants us to deal with the leper. Help him and bring him back in. But it seems that model did not last. We'll read about lepers again later in Tanakh, and this time their situation is altogether different. The Haftarah is not chosen randomly. It always has some thematic link to the Parsha. Often it offers a new spin on that theme and serves as a subtle way of reflecting on and reinterpreting the original story. So the Haftarah for our Parsha is taken from the Book of Kings, and it begins, as you might guess, with another story of lepers. Va'arba anashim hayu mitzoraim. 4 men who were lepers were outside the entrance to the gate, Petach Hashar. They said to one another, "Why should we sit here, waiting for death? If we decide to go into the town, we shall die there, and if we just sit here, we still die. So let us go down into the Aramean camp. If they let us live, we shall live, and if they put us to death, we would have died anyway." They end up going into the camp and finding it abandoned, and their report plays a pivotal role in the story. But leaving aside the context for a moment, let's just consider the opening image. These lepers are sitting outside the gate, starving, abandoned, and totally desperate. Where's their healer? Where's their community? All they have is each other, the other lepers. It is, eerily, like a little leper colony. The Book of Kings documents the chaotic years of wars and wicked monarchs. After Solomon's reign, things had begun to fall apart. So what we're seeing here is a society that has so completely devolved that it's no longer tending to its most needy. We went from a whole parsha devoted to bringing the leper in to a story of lepers who are hopelessly outside, lingering pathetically at the gates. Yet there is an even more harrowing account of the leper in Jewish tradition. It appears in the last chapter of Masechet Sanhedrin. Our rabbis in this parak are dealing with all kinds of major theological issues, including theories of redemption. One of the questions they ask is, when will the Messiah come? There are lots of cryptic answers that read like riddles. There's even a radical opinion that there will be no Messiah for Israel. But one of the most striking answers is given in a story that features leper-like imagery. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Eshkach le'Eliyahu, dehave kame apitcha demarata de Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi came upon Eliyahu, the prophet, standing by the entrance to the cave of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Amar le, emat asi Mashiach? He asked him, when will the Messiah come? Eliyahu replied, go and ask him yourself. Where does he sit? At the entrance to the city, apitcha de karta. And by what signs will I recognize him? He is sitting among the poor, suffering sick. They all untie their bandages all at once when they need to rebandage themselves. But he unties and rebandages in parts, one by one, thinking, maybe I'll suddenly be needed, and I want to be ready at any minute. Notice how this story plays on the imagery in our Parsha and its Haftarah. Where does he sit? It says in the Talmud. He sits alone, it says in our Parsha. The entrance to the city, it says in the Talmud, and the entrance to the gate, it says in the Book of Kings. And the answer to the question of when the Messiah will come, in this version, is he's already here. But no one notices him. In fact, he's a total outcast, a leper. Well, that means, by all rights, in fact, by God's order, you should be doing everything you can to bring him in and heal him. But instead, he sits there with the other lepers, waiting for you. At this point, we ought to remind ourselves again that none of these stories are really about leprosy. In fact, the classical commentators generally agree that though it had a physical manifestation, this was fundamentally a spiritual malady. If that's true, it lends an entirely different read to all of these stories. The one who sits alone outside the camp is suffering spiritually. And when we go out to heal them, to bring them in, we're not just tending to their body, but to their aching soul. Maybe that's why the leper is brought back in a week before he's fully cured. Because, in a sense, bringing him back into the camp is the cure. But what happens? Time passes, society hardens, and we begin to forget to bring people in. We forget those who are suffering spiritually. They're left to sneak their way or fight their way back into the community. And then, eventually, they give up. They sit outside, nursing their wounds, waiting for something to change. The image of the Messiah waiting on us carries a certain irony, since in our daily prayers and declarations of faith, it is we who describe ourselves as waiting for the Messiah. V'afal pi sheyitmameya, and even though he may tarry, as the recitation of Maimonides' 13 Principles of Faith puts it, im kol ze achakelo, nevertheless, I will wait for him. But in the scene Eliyahu describes to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, it's as if those inside the city are waiting for the Messiah, while the Messiah waits on the other side of the entrance to the city, for someone to come out and find him. Perhaps that's why the Book of Lamentations, which we read on the day we mourn the destruction of Jerusalem, as we beg for our redemption, also subtly evokes the image of the leper outside the camp. It begins with language that will be familiar from our Parsha. Echa yashva badad, ha'ir rabati am. How is it that the city, once great with people, sits alone? Back in the Talmud, the story ends with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi going up to the leper Messiah and asking him, "When will you come, Master?" "Today," he answered. Rabbi Yeshua is confused. "Today?" He goes back to Eliyahu and says, "He lied to me. He said he would come today, but he has not." Eliyahu explains that, no, it's true, but what he meant was today as it appears in a line from the Psalms. Hayom im bekolo tishma'u. Today, if you will hear God's voice. Redemption could come today, any day, any moment. But first, we have to hear God's voice. And what does God say? We've long forgotten, but it was right there in our parsha, in the beginning of the procedure for curing the leper. V'yatza ha-kohen el michutz l'machane. The priest shall go outside the camp. The Redeemer doesn't come to us. We go out to find the Redeemer. We go out to the sick, the suffering, the outcasts of all kinds. We comfort them, cleanse them, heal them. And we bring them back into the camp, in through the gates, back into the community. When we remember how to do that, our redemption is at hand. In fact, maybe that is our redemption. The leper, it turns out, is the one who can save us all.